Today's date is Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. The time is 5 p.m. and we are having this board meeting at the Samhain Island EMS building. First order is consent agenda. Can the board hear a motion to accept this?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, call for the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Next order of business is Samhain County PhD number one operations report. Pamela Hutchins, superintendent. Pam.
Okay. For the month of April, we had total receipts of $503,787.71. And of that was our large property tax revenue of $484,706.64. We had $38.99 of leasehold tax, and $55.97 were the accounts receivable that were still dribbling in from the Inter Island Medical Center from 2012. So that just keeps coming in a little bit at a time. And we had accounts, money refunded from APALCO for their capital refund campaign to IIMC bill. And the EMS reimbursed $16,799.86 for the Washington state audit invoices. I pay the invoices in full, and then I bill them for half, and they reimburse the district. So we each end up paying half of those bills. So the total cash available at the end of April was $773,787.63. For disbursements, we had a total of $556,305.63. Of that total, there was $1,710 of payroll for some of the first quarter commissioner meetings, and $133.78 for payroll taxes. And accounts payables totaled $554,461.85. And this is one of our high months for that, because $503,889.56 was paid out to Peace Health for their half of their subsidy payment that was for the second half of 2017. And then there was my first quarter wages for superintendent. That is wages plus all benefits that we reimbursed the EMS for, was $23,606.04. So that's a kind of a synopsis of what came in and what went out. And as far as the financials for the month of April, compared to April of 2017 last year, because some things were paid in a different month, some things are different. We paid the subsidy payment in a different month, and legal and accounting and some of those things. At the very bottom, the net income for April was -$71,560. And that is different from budget, but when you go to the next page for January through April, totaled together, if you go down to the bottom, the net income was $49,031.63, and budgeted amount for January through April was -$6,320.92. So we are ahead of budget by about $55,000. And this particular budget is based on our original budget that we passed last year, 2017. And today we'll be talking about the amendments to 2017 budget, and then next month those amendments will show up on when we compare these amounts. So that will take care of that. And any questions on the financials or money? Any part? Nope. For the operations report, we were pretty busy. We our last meeting, we had Bill Giese here, and we lowered the board agreed to lower the sale price for Inter Island Medical Center to $985,000. We, as usual, this time of year, we get a few people starting to look at the medical center. So there's a couple of people out there looking, and they've taken plans, and they're looking. So we're hoping that we'll get an offer and have a contract, especially since we lowered the sales price down to $985,000. So we just have to keep a watch on that. And last April 23rd, we had a meeting with the long-term care task force that the district joined up with. Now there are 13 districts in that particular task force and that grant, and there I put a pretty detailed report here in the operations report. Jody Corona came on April 23rd and gave a good report on what the task force had been doing and some of the things that they would be concentrating on, such as the getting the health statistics for the district and other districts. That's a vital part of the facilities planning and things like that. So that will be taking place. And they also looked at strategies for the task force, and they've been exploring programs of all-inclusive care for the elderly in a PACE program, and they've also looked at the greenhouse project that has come up in a number of places. Our local task force that we have been looking at also have been looking at the greenhouse project, and also adult family homes is also another way that a lot of rural neighborhoods are starting to see that would be a better model rather than a big nursing home in a rural setting. So it gets different reimbursement. There's different rules and regulations, easier to run. They're smaller. You can get your staff adjusted better. So that's what they're looking at. And this task force has also applied for another outreach grant that should be given out. I think they should hear by the end of July, and that would be for $200,000 for 3 years. And that would just fit right into the end of this one, so that we could continue to look at networks and planning and things like that. Yes, and the Mark Tompkins is part of our local task force for that, and he's getting a lot of data to give to them, and he mentioned some of that about the local housing problems and things like that. So they are looking at that, and when they get the data from all of San Juan County, which includes Orcas and Lopez, also some of their data, then they can look at that as a whole better. We had our work session earlier on the powers of delegation. My powers of delegation has been included in the revised bylaws, which is still being looked at, but that is an ongoing thing and will hopefully be submitted next month for approval, but we'll see. And the week of May 14th to May 18th, this past time was the filing week for the elections, and next May will be the following week for our commissioner elections. We will be having four positions open. So I would like for anyone that's interested in being a hospital district commissioner to call the office, and I would like to have them come to the office, and I have some videos to show them and just kind of talk to them about what the commissioner does, what we're doing, so that they have a really good idea of what it is to be a hospital commissioner and how much time it takes, and so they can really think about it before that filing week comes, and they, you know, they have to make that decision, so they'll be well prepared. And I wanted to remind people that the hospital district is a nonpartisan organization, and the purpose of a hospital district is to authorize the establishment to operate hospitals and other health care facilities, and to provide hospital services and other health care services for the residents of such districts and other persons established by RCW 7044-003. And all of us in the hospital district, commissioners, staff, and everyone are to be nonpartisan, and we're to look at the total health of the district. So I just wanted to remind people that it kind of gets lost sometimes on the ballot, and when everything's going on, everything's separated, Democrat, Republican, everything, but that we are nonpartisan. And so just wanted to make that distinction. Commissioner Edwards and I will be going to the Washington State Hospital Association and Association of Washington Public Hospital District 42nd Annual Rural Hospital Leadership Conference. It takes place, they have it every year in Lake Chelan, and this year it's June 24th through the 27th, and it's a leadership conference for both the CEOs, which is me, and superintendents, and the hospital district commissioners can come to this meeting. And it's an annual event, and a lot of districts put this on their calendar, you know, years in advance. Some of them, I have learned, have gotten their rooms already registered for years after, so because it's a popular event, and there's not a lot of lodging there. So we'll be going to attend that, and they talk about a lot of current things that hospital districts are doing, a lot of problems that hospital districts are looking at, especially the long-term care of nursing homes. So it's a really good way to get current information and to interact with our peers around the state, and to learn things that work in their district and that don't work, and we can share our results also. So that will take place. And then the last thing I talked about was I will be presenting revisions to the 2017 budget now that we have received our beginning cash letter from the county later in this meeting. That's operations for April.
So I would add that at least tentatively, the Pam and I have made arrangements with Salem County PhD number 2 in Lopez, the carpool over to Lake Chelan, so that should be an interesting opportunity to find out what they're troubled with and their methodology, and share what we're doing here too. So we're looking forward to that. Thank you. Great.
Thanks.
Who is arriving? I'm not.
All right.
They mentioned that early on in the presentation. Okay. Any questions of Pam? Comment? Thanks
for coming.
Thank you. Okay, next on the list is 7-9 on the EMS operations report. EMS Chief Jerry Munn.
Sure. Good evening, Commissioners. Just to echo what Pam was saying as far as the conference over here that's going to be in Chelan, The fire conference that the commissioners and fire chiefs had over there has always been huge, and I know there's always just been a big gain of information in that, and I'm sure this commissioner's meeting would be the same over there. So it's one that I know highly gone to by the fireside. As far as our department stats, we are 88 calls for April, 321 to date. This is at the end of April. We are about 4% less than we were last year at this time. And last month, I think I reported about that we were down about 9.6%. So we've had a number of calls more this month. And then with this being our busy season coming up, I would imagine at the end of summer that we'll probably be exceeded all what we had last year. This is what it'll look like what we're going to have. And that's based on, talking to Barry, people in there say that the reservations already been booked out more so than they were last year. And then the businesses are expecting a lot more population here, so I figure that our call load is going to be going up. We assisted with transports to Island Air 20 times, airlift 6, and the Navy 0. Everything's been busy. There's been a few days here we've had two or three calls going on either right after each other or at the same time. So the crews are pretty busy. We've had some pretty good trainings here too. We had Mary Lou's come in, and she gave a very, very good class on hospice seniors, elderly, and so we're going to be having her come back again next here probably in 6, 7, 8 months. I'd like to turn this over to Chris real quick to go over a financial review, and then I'll go back more into operational stuff.
Good evening. We are 4 months, 33% into the year, and April's the big, as Pam had said on her report, this is the month where we get, April's the month where a lot of our property tax revenue comes flowing in, and our cash balances get to come up to much higher levels than they had been. Everything looks happy and healthy. So for the month of April, we had revenue of $605,655 and expenditures of about $141,000. Our expenditures trended to, they're a lot more consistent month to month. That brings us at about $938,000 year to date. And for revenue and expenditures at $603,000 year to date. So where does that put us? That puts us at, we're basically, now our revenue is at about 45% through the year, so much higher than we are during the year, but that's just the lumpiness of our revenue. And then our expenses are actually just trending right around budget, a little bit under, actually at 30% or 33% through the year. And so our cash now is sitting at six point four months of our average expenses. So this is the time when we're sitting in good shape, and everything is, we don't really have any major expenses that are coming up, or nothing unexpected has come up yet, and boring month, I guess, and not a whole lot to say other than just our revenue's way up. We will be revising our budget, and we'll present that next month, mostly just to factor in the increase in medical costs and for medical insurance, it's bumping up a little bit, and then to adjust for just a few other little things that have changed this year, such as even the net impact is zero on EMS side, but because all the payroll comes through our side, Nathan's increase is increase in benefits are come out of EMS and then the district reimburses us, so we need to adjust for that prediction as well, or that those numbers. Is there anything you want to add to this? No? Okay. All right, well, I guess I'll. Does anybody have any questions?
Excellent. Boring is good.
Okay.
So, while I was gone for vacation, Kyle Davies took in his interim and it did an excellent job. Everything was here, and actually everything was better than it was when I left. So, just a hats off to him and the crews that worked underneath him. Everything was fantastic. This week marks National EMS Week, and as you probably notice out there in the kitchen that. People have just been stopping by and bringing more food and more food and more food. So the compliments that EMS has been getting from the phone calls and people stopping by has just been huge. So that the hats off goes to all the EMS, EMTs, and paramedics. As Chris was talking about, we're going to have some changes in next month's adjusted budget. And so we got our prices for our insurance, which has gone up about 7.25%, which we think is pretty reasonable considering other places are double digit numbers what they're looking for as their insurance premium raised. And then dental has gone up about 5%. So we'll be seeing those impacts there. Talking to the state auditor, we will probably be having a scheduling an audit finalized either on June 15th or maybe the 22nd of next month. And again, then we're going to be, I'll be submitting to the board our amended budget next month. Community-wise, we got a wilderness first responder class going on next month, middle of June. So we'll be taking care of that. And just a host of CPR first aid classes going through here. We had a trauma nurses flight class that we had here about 2 weeks ago. And we had nurses from Airlift, Island Air, and other entities around Washington State. So we had a big packed full house here. Starting either late June, early July, we're going to be starting contract negotiations with the Local 3219. We did this last year. We just did a one-year contract looking at to see if we're going to be working towards merging with fire or not. So we did a one-year extension. So we'll be, we're due to start talks again here this summer. CID investigation, there's nothing to report. Our attorney, Jim Fredman, is leaving his firm that he's with, Foster Pepper, and he's going to a new firm, Pulsinelli, and they're moving starting a new office in Seattle. So he's moved over to them, and so we'll be talking about that here in a little bit. But so we're waiting. He's just making that move this week. Operations wise, Carl just got back from the National Fire Academy in Maryland, where he took a class. The coursework that he was taking was the retention and recruitment of volunteer EMTs, and so. What we're seeing here on this island is what other places around the country are seeing. So there's a reduction of volunteers, fire, EMS. So they were able to come up with some good ideas on how they can how we can recruit and retain our volunteers. GEMT has been submitted, a newsletter we're working on, and we have a North Region roundtable meeting tomorrow in Linwood for the community paramedics information on how They've been doing it down there in Snohomish County, and come back with some good information from them. And then we'll be getting our community paramedic meeting back up in full swing up here. We are in the process of working with the other departments, and we should have a plan coming together here in a couple months with some funding finally coming in from the ACH. And it's not what we had hoped for, but it's something that will we can make work. And then I've been tasked to kind of gather all the medical program directors together in our five counties and get all of them up to speed on what we're doing and getting their input on our plans for community paramedicine. That's all I have. Questions, comments, concerns, problems, jokes?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So we're having trouble recruiting, so it's lack of a better term. At some point, we become busy enough that we need to go to a more employment. I would like, not particularly at this meeting, I just would like maybe at the next meeting to discuss where those numbers are, because I would think fire would want to know that. I certainly want to know that. And how all that works. That's a hidden, I don't want to call it a liability, but a hidden factor in due diligence of moving anything if we do that. And that's a...
We've been studying that, you know, ever since I've been here. In fact, we had a staff meeting today just discussing those very same questions.
But I'd like a report at the next meeting, and it'll give you some time to organize it and stuff. I think that's an important number, not only for us to know, but for the community to know, the residential community, the business community, the other islands. And so anyway, that's my question, but it doesn't need to be answered now.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, we've been working on this, we've been talking about this, and we're just trying to come up with a solution. And so I'll have a report for you next month.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Chief. Next order of business on the agenda is audience participation. Sharon Cavista.
In the EMT report, it's always saying we're within our response times within rural benchmarks. What are the actual times?
The actual times for our benchmarks, there's times that they break down in rural, suburban, and wilderness. And so you look at your average response, not average response time, it's that 90 percentile of what you're looking for. And San Juan Island, majority of those, of that we counts as rural. And so that is, I want to say it's a 10 to 12 minute response time, and I'll have to look back at that. But that's 90% to the 90% time. There's areas on San Juan Island that is considered
wilderness.
Wilderness, and there is no time frame on that. Same like on the islands that surround there is no time frame on that. So we're about our response time needs to be at least 10 to 12 minutes, and I can get that for you within 90 percentile of the time.
Can I put in here? The way that works is when there's a call, response time is from call to scene.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And those numbers are calculated, and we report them, and they get to be a national number across the country. And then we're shooting for the 90th percentile because that's what we're shooting.
I just think it's important for the public to have realistic expectations of how long it will take once they make the 911 call. And frankly, it surprises me that it would be as fast as 10 to 12 minutes. I mean, it's a lot of us live like farther from town than that. I mean, even if somebody left immediately, they would have one heck of a time. I mean, I've had EMS calls, I think I've had probably four, and it was always at least half an hour. So that's why I just wonder, I just think it's important for people to have realistic, especially when we have so many summer visitors and stuff, for people to have a realistic idea of what to expect.
Good point. This is an average, though.
This is the, it's a 90 percentile.
The national average.
Of our average. So they come up with the guidelines of that. I want to say it's 12 minutes, but I'll have to get back with you on that. And it's actually when the clock starts. Yeah, and so and that's after it's been dispatched. So sometimes it could take 2-3 minutes for the dispatch to come out. And then majority of our calls, 80% of our calls are within Friday Harbor, the town.
Oh, okay.
So when you look at that, we can be down there 6 minutes, 5 minutes, or even less. So when you throw in all the other calls in there, it averages out to work within our standards.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Could you come to the mic, please?
Oh, you can hear
Take
me
it
fine.
Right.
You said that Nathan's salary comes out of EMS. Where does Pam's come from, and why do they come from where they do?
You want to add? So, within the county payroll, I believe this started, I could be wrong, but I believe once the medical center was closed, Pam was the only employee for the hospital district. So for the sake of efficiency, all the payroll for the district runs through EMS because we have the vast majority of employees. The hospital district just has one. So we run the payroll is paid out of our account, and then the hospital district reimburses EMS for that. So by Nathan coming on, he's part of the hospital district, so his payroll runs out of EMS. But once again, the hospital district reimburses us for it. So at the end of the year, the total cost of the payroll for the hospital district is X, and the income from that is going to be the same amount. I mean, it might be off by a tiny bit, just, you know, due to timing. But that's just the way it works, or that's just the way operationally we work. And since our reports all come from the county, it's going to show that income coming in and the reimbursement coming in. It's going to show the pay going out. So the line items in the report, if you were to look at our reports, I don't know if you have them, but there's a reimbursement line, hospital district cost reimbursement line on the revenue side, and then the hospital district employees, the superintendent salary and such is a line within the EMS administrative expenses.
But that's our tax money from the hospital district.
Yes, but you got to understand, so the hospital district is paying it, mm-hmm. but for the sake of that, for doing all, it's the county that runs all of our payroll. It's like the county that processes our accounts payable and everything else. So it is all, it's the only reason why the hospital district, I mean, there's only two employees, so it's just much more efficient and cost effective to just do one, have everyone in one payroll batch as opposed to doing separate payroll batches where they're going to have to do twice as many reports and twice all of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
We use this so it can get on the recording.
Say hi to yourself.
Yeah.
You're now famous.
Okay, any other comments from our audience? Thank you.